After the tea break, we shifted our focus to social and emotional learning. I pointed out that many schools have already put into action for children the kind of program for adults we had been formulating the previous day. Mark Greenberg, a pioneer in creating one such widely used program, would tell us about them. The idea behind his work, I continued, is that if we teach children these things now, we can prevent problems later, particularly the problems that come from afflictive emotions, violence, suicide, drug abuse, and so on. Mark Greenberg grew up in the baby boom generation. He was raised in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and educated at Johns Hopkins University. Going on to graduate work at the University of Virginia for training in developmental and clinical psychology, Mark began his work with deaf children by chance. One day he was sent to give an IQ test to a 5-year-old impaired child, who, Mark realized, became frightened when his mother left the room. Intrigued, Mark started to do research on parent-child attachment in the hearing impaired. That led to an interest in behavior problems among deaf children and how they might be prevented, which in turn led Mark and his colleague, Carol Coucher, to develop the PATHS curriculum designed to prevent those problems. PATHS is an acronym for Promoting Alternative Thinking Strategies. The PATHS program worked so well that the principals of the schools where it had been tried among deaf students asked whether the other students could take it too. Today, it is in broad use in over 100 American school districts, as well as several other countries. With PATHS, Mark became a pioneer in a new specialty in psychology, the field of primary prevention, which seeks to protect children from later problems through teaching them key skills for living. Mark began by saying, "I found His Holiness's analogy to the immune system fascinating and very useful. Our secular goal should be to support a healthy, emotional immune system. In child development research, we call this immunity protective factors." Given the essential nature of the parent-infant relationship, I would like to make 3 points about infancy. First, research indicates that when parents recognize their infant's negative emotions, their anger and sadness, and help them to cope with those emotions, children over time develop better physiological regulation of their emotions and show more positive behavior. On the other hand, when parents ignore or punish infants for showing these emotions or get angry at them, over time children, knowing that certain emotions can't be shared, shut them down. This makes a child overstressed, both physiologically and psychologically, because the emotion is still there, and it puts an obstacle in the way of developing a basic trust between the child and adults. The second point is that one of the most important of many factors that place infants at risk is maternal depression. Mothers who have high rates of sad feelings, who are lethargic and depressed, have children who later show higher rates of aggression, anxiety, and depression. Unquote. In short, making babies happy grows the circuitry that will help them have positive feelings like joy throughout their lives. Mark's third point focused on how broader social and emotional deprivation affects the infant's brain. He said, "We know that deprivation can affect levels of the neurotransmitter dopamine and, as a result, can affect brain development and brain plasticity. So it should be of great concern that there is a growing number of children around the world who are residing in orphanages where they are deprived of care and a close emotional relationship between the children and the caregivers."